good. Now it's timing, it's recording. So I'd like Chair Larson would like to.
All of you are ready.
Okay, a time?
4:01, right?
4.
4:03, I bet.
Okay.
4:03.
We've compromised at 4:02.
I like that part. It's so sweet.
Where are we?
Oh,
roll call, sorry. All right, Trustee Clark.
Yes.
Trustee Ellison?
Here.
Vice Chair Halloran?
Here.
Chair Larson?
Here.
Trustee Moffitt?
Here.
All right.
Any public comments?
There were no public comments received.
Okay. We're ready for our library updates.
We're actually going to go out of turn, and we're actually going to have our deputy city manager present Metro PD first, because she has two more commissions to come voting right after this.
Very good.
Thank you for taking me out.
So this is
very
for me,
good.
Please.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Brady Chase. I'm deputy city manager here at the city, and one of the things I am working on is Measure P. So I oversee the Measure P citizen oversight committee, and then I'm also responsible as we look at a possible Measure P as well to fund or extending that current asset sales tax that exists. There's going to be a lot of pretty pictures behind you if you want to look at them. Okay. I mean, I'm going to talk
you can
a
turn.
Lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk a lot, but
yeah, you can just start behind you.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to. If you want to. Take a look at you.
No,
you get a nice front row there.
Yeah. So, Measure P, I'm sure most of you are aware that was an absent sales tax that was passed by the voters in 2016 and went into effect in 2017. What the basis of that, we first established an infrastructure, facilities, equipment, and expenditure plan. And what that did was really look at all the assets of the city, look at what condition they were in, and what things needed to be updated. With that also, when we brought Measure P to the ballot, we created the Citizen Oversight Committee, so that is 9 members of the public, one from each district, one from the mayor's office, and then from some other community groups that oversee and review the spend that happens on the drawdown of Measure P funds to make sure that those funds are in compliance or in conformance with the infrastructure facilities funding plan. So the first thing that we did is the city spent a couple of years looking at city infrastructure. So I have an HR background. I did not know this is corrugated metal pipe for things that weren't. But what we did is we actually went through the city looking at all the corrugated metal pipe, what things needed to be rehabbed. Some things are obvious, library restrooms
yeah.
that needed to be taken care of. You can see that, but also looking at the things you can't see. And so this was a picture of ours. These are the things that when they fell cost sinkholes. We like to think, I had this in here before the storm in May where things flooded in other cities and we fared very well, and part of that is being trusted with the money and putting it into doing a lot of projects like this. So what it was meant to do is maintain and repair those residential streets. So we do have money that that goes towards the main arterial roads that are through town, but really putting money into the residential streets that there isn't a funding stream for outside of the general fund. We used it to replace police and fire both vehicles, new fire stations, work on 911 emergency calls. Like I said, replacing the storm drains, upgrading irrigation systems, essential repairs to a lot of buildings. So for the library, we did the roof.
Yeah.
And then now, as you know, Joy has been great at getting $9.75 million for each library to do other upgrades that are needed. But what we also anticipate is those funds can only serve certain things, so supplementing that with additional Measure P funds to make sure we're really renovating full facilities. We have other funds that come in, or like Eucalyptus Park will be closing down at the end of the year for some major renovations on grants that we got, but the grant was to add new infrastructure or new amenities to parks. We take Measure P and supplement to really work on the facilities that are already there to make it look like one new beautiful cohesive park as opposed to an old tennis court next to a beautiful new football court or whatever that looks like, right? So the city infrastructure projects that we've worked on, things like war parks, sports courts, fields, things like that, residential street repair, as I mentioned. In the original Measure P plan, we anticipated doing streets with a PCI of up to 25. So basically, streets were rated on a scale from 0 to 100, 0 being the worst, 100 being the best. The day it's paved, it's 100 and it's never there again, right? It deteriorates immediately. But With the goal of hitting the 0 to 25 streets, and those really are the most expensive to repair because you can't just put a nice seal on top and walk away. They do have to have a full redo of that pavement. The city's been able to make it up to those rated up to 33. That snapshot in time of when this was done. So we've exceeded what we anticipated being able to fix throughout the city. And then also upgrading things, again, the things you don't see, like the city's network. So we can now see, and our IT director did a great job explaining it to the HR person in me, we can now see when people are knocking on the walls of our IT trying to get in, and we're able to keep them out. So we've done some really critical infrastructure on the city's network. We've also worked on drainage, sidewalks. I have a slide in here, and it's actually updated now since I put this slide presentation together with sidewalks. So we've done almost over 7,000 sidewalk repairs, which is either cutting them down if the lift is under a certain height, they're able to cut it down, or completely ripping it out and replacing those. So it really does make it safe for those working on it. I have a kid on a scooter that will tip over on anything, making it safer for the public to walk on. And then also, it really does also reduce the claims that come to the city and the general fund dollars available to do it.
You get a lot of people who trip on the sidewalks and sue the city.
There are. They do come in.
Hmm?
They do come in. Yeah. So it's a great thing to be able to do. My mother fell on one, just not in this city. They're precarious, right? And then upgrading traffic signals to make sure they're more visible. Working on replacing, filling out the traffic signals at various locations. Also with the fire facilities, so we did invest in new fire equipment. But also two fire stations, we actually moved the locations up. So for two of the stations, the fire department had done, and they were on our older fire stations, but actually moved the locations of them. They looked at calls for service where they were coming up, response times, and we picked them up and moved them or rebuilt them in locations that have allowed a decrease in response time, average response times for those two facilities, which is very impressive. And then if you look across the street at Station 1, which is our oldest station, they're actually living through a remodel. So they're remodeling half of it, and they're living on one side of it, and now they're flipped and they're working on the second half of it. We've also put money into the CAD system and police dispatch. So some other things we've done, and the library was here all the time, not just for this meeting, but Loma Verde. So originally that was targeted for remodel. So with a lot of our gyms, like at the library, we've done roofs to begin with, but when you walked into it, it needed to be torn down. So that facility was fully scraped to the ground and rebuilt. So there's $22.5 million coming out of Measure P. And it now has an Olympic sized pool. It has a warm therapeutics pool. It has a splash pad for kids. You can do archery. There's a kiln. There is a beautiful gymnasium, there is a dance floor. They really did a lot on that site. It is absolutely fantastic if you haven't been out there. So on our website, we have GIS plotted where the facilities we've worked on. So different community facilities, parks, fields, and courts, where we've done some energy and water saving projects, worked on public safety or police or fire items. This is hard to see on here, but the storm drains, or press them if you zoom in and it's darker. But the different phases of storm drains that we've either replaced or repaired throughout the city. The streets that have been repaved or sealed. And then sidewalks, this used to be the top layer on GIS, and then the program's broken. But this is outdated, so now they've moved to the west side, or the east side, and there's been a lot more repair and replacement now if you go onto the website.
Is it Melrose taxes paid for that, or is that
on the community facilities?
The east side?
I will have to ask. A lot of it you'll see is near like the Bonita area.
Oh.
On that side is where a lot of it is sitting. So. So initially it was anticipated that this revenue would bring in $165 million over 10 years, and we're actually projected around $245 at this point in time. So that's why we were able to do additional things like Loma Verde, as opposed to just kind of stopping any additional things from really making it safe and not to incur additional damage through water or other things that are out there. But at the beginning of this, we actually bonded $70 million when this first started to get some of those essential repairs going that needed to happen. That will be repaid during the tenure of this Measure P. So we're working on that. Like I said, there is a Measure P Citizens Oversight to look at it. And so besides the districts, these are the other groups that can work to appoint groups. So it's the Taxpayers Association, ACE, the Chamber of Commerce, the Labor Council, Parks and Rec Commission, and Sustainability Commission. So they're reviewing what happens, and they report out annually to the council if the funds are being spent correctly, and there's actually an independent audit that's completed every year to want to use the funds. So the funding is currently set to expire, and right now we're, one, educating people in the commissions, and we're going out and doing it. We actually first did this presentation from Ezra P, and they said, you should tell people this. As government, we are not always good at showing what we've done, and this we've done what we said we were going to do, so we're pretty proud of it, right? But also looking at another ballot measure for continuing it for another 10 years. So as we look at the infrastructure that still needs to be done within the city that exists, looking at the possibility of continuing that. So right now we're doing just general education of what Measure P has done. We will be going out with a survey to the public of what is important to everyone, because we did do that the last full round. So that will be going out in the next couple weeks to the public. Every residence will get a flyer to respond to it.
When it passed originally, I didn't live in the city at the time.
Sure.
Do you know like the threshold, like what it
was
by?
Around 66%.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So I mean, you would imagine showing all this data and everything that should stay the same, if not improve. The
initial polling is about 70%.
Cool.
So it's been well received. I mean, we've done a good job of seeing what we're going to do. So as we look towards, I think we've learned some things in the first 10 years. We've been able to do a lot, but we also took on a lot of money in CIP projects with the promise not to add any staff to do it. So we've either one, put things on staff, or we've hired outside consultants to do the work. So as we look at the next 10 years, we are looking at possibly adding more staff to do that, but then the general fund could absorb at the end of that 10-year period, which would be in 2037. Also adding staffing to work on homelessness. That is one of the big things when we surveyed of what was happening. In the budget was the city's manager's budget was proposed that council took as their own budget last week, and we'll be bringing back for adoption next week. We're actually adding two people to Public Works to deal specifically with working on removal and debris of homeless encampments and things of that nature, and working on the parks, the impact of homelessness. But adding two more people through a potential, possibly adding two more people through a potential measure for 2.0, making a full crew that would be able to do that on a full-time basis. But continue working on the things that we know have made differences, like the streets, the stormwater, the sidewalks, and then just adding and supplementing where we still have needs. We still have places like the Women's Club and Otay Rec Center, and there's lots of other facilities that haven't had as much funding put back into it that it really needs to make them what they should be for the city.
Have you established what the funding what the total cost for funding would be? Do we know it?
We have more than, if we did another 10 years, right now we're getting $28 million a year, so we figure $280 million,
oh, yeah.
Round up $300 million, I would assume-ish.
Yeah.
Our infrastructure needs to exceed that always, right? There's always a street that needs to be done. There's always something out there, right? But I think we are coming up with a reasonable kind of hierarchy of what it is. And what we did find also with the first measure is this is the plan of what we have, but things sometimes escalate and jump faster than you would expect, right? We think we know what we know, but it doesn't mean something's not gonna fail that was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was great about having some cushion in this is that we were able to address things that came up without one impacting the projects we thought we were going to do or other city services that existed or having to dip in the reserve. We didn't have to do any of that to really maintain and address the infrastructure needs that came up during this period.
And that was a sales tax, right? It wasn't on the property tax.
No, yeah, it's a sales tax.
Okay.
So it's a asset sales tax that pushed for 10 years. So. Now that you say that. So it is a half-cent sales tax. We do disclose all the public spending that comes out of it, but it is, there are certain things that are excluded from the sales tax, like groceries, prescriptions, things like that, that are not included in it. And it is all funds staying local in the city of Chula Vista. So here's where we are now. So we did do a feasibility study, like I said, was an company that surveyed likely voters and it had about that 70% passage rate. But as part of that, they did, it was asked what are the things that are more important, and that's where homelessness and things that really weren't addressed 7 years ago, 8 years ago were there, that we are now trying to include in these things now, and that's where you also see a survey coming out that will go out to all of the public to try and gather what are the things that are in this wheelhouse of infrastructure and needs to keep it, keep everything clean, safe, moving forward, that maybe we're overlooking and getting that feedback from the community. During this summer, probably in June or July, we'll go back to council and ask to, they want to put something on the ballot for 2024. In November to continue the tax for another 10 years. And we have received the question of why now versus in 2 years when it's going to expire. But we really do want to come up with a plan going forward. If this is where this money ends, what are we spending the last part of it on? We have about $20 million we haven't allocated. Or if we have another 10 years with it, where can we kind of set projects up and what can we do and in what order we would like to lay that out with a plan. And with that is the end of my presentation. Take any questions or feedback, I would love it.
I have one question, and one of the very first slides, and towards the end you said about like future plans or whatever, you mentioned trying to limit, improve like traffic and the congestion and, and like the systems itself, but one of the very first slides specifically said something about emissions. What's the plan, or how does that work in conjunction with traffic and congestion and some of the systems in place? Like, are we saying that we're trying to improve roads to have less vehicles on the road, or create different?
That is not part of.
Okay.
Like changing where people are at is not part of this particular process.
It specifically said emissions on one of the very first slides.
Emissions. It's so funny. I had this conversation today with someone as we were talking about it.
It was, I think.
Too far.
Maybe right here, carbon emissions, yeah. Oh. Reduce traffic congestion and associated carbon emissions. Then, my only, just thinking out loud here, because I'm familiar with some of the stuff, like in what San Diego is doing, like with bus routes, right? Like certain bus routes are like coming to like a light, and then the light automatically changes to green. So they're upgrading some of the traffic systems to eliminate a lot of those emissions. So I don't know if that's something that Chula is considering, because that would be.
I mean, we have our rapid bus routes, but you know, I'm going to find out exactly because of this. There's a rapid line that goes all the way to downtown.
There's not that many, like in even the city of San Diego. There's one like Park Boulevard, I think downtown, University. So, I was just interested on that.
Also, is there any plans to, do the Measure P funds go towards like the trolley to the east side? Because with that Bayfront happening, how are they going to improve traffic in H?
It does not improve that. So the trolley is MTS, but I'll find out what they have in mind with.
And I know they're trying to eliminate the toll fee. That's something that would potentially be happening in the next 2 years.
Yeah, there is a lot. So our council member Chavez is on the MTS board, and she frequently reports out all the conversations that are happening with the 125 right now.
That's like her baby.
$20 million was allocated from the state to try and pay off early, but there's been some struggles with the toll.
H Street corridor is going to be crazy with that.
Oh my gosh.
Happens.
Yeah,
she's not going to.
Sounds good to me.
Thank you.
Great report.
Thank you. It's fun to come to great news to people. That came from HR. No one was ever happy to see that. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You can just leave that there for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, who's up next?
Thanks, Courtney. He's out with the library.
I know, library update. Which is actually a good segue, because we can actually have a conversation a little bit about, I think starting next week, we're going to be meeting with Public Works and kind of handling how the renovations are going to flow for both Civic and South Library. As of right now, if you haven't heard, the state budget is kind of in flux, and they're making cuts. but the infrastructure grant is not one of them at this point. And we got half of the grant already paid out to the city. So what we're doing, just in case, is we're going to sit down, put an RFP out for design build to find a contractor, and we'll work directly with that contractor to piecemeal each of the projects so that we can make sure that with whatever money we get, whether they don't give us the second half or not, that the project is complete.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd rather do complete projects versus start all of them and then none of them get finished. So that's kind of where we're at with our thought process going forward, but that should be starting in the next week or so. So you're going to see us start backing away from some of the things. I know I have had Irwin not put up art exhibits just so that we don't have to worry about taking them down or worry about hurt, you know, basically messing up, damaging someone's art, because we're going to have to at some point take it down and offline. Other things going on, we have Otay Ranch opened. So, and they're fully opened at this point. Passports hasn't opened yet because we're clearing one more hurdle. We just got approval from State Department, because even if we close, and I know we closed and just moved over, but they
have
still
to,
have to approve it.
They have to audit the space.
Yeah, they always have to audit the space. It is a larger facility, so it's really nice to see that. It's about 4,000 square feet now from what it originally was. And then I'm actually gonna turn it over to Diana and Irwin, and they can report on what's going on in the ranches.
So besides the Otay Ranch reopening, we also, our seed libraries opened at all three of our branches. So you can check out seeds, and then the
check what?
Seeds.
So plants.
Seeds.
Yes. And then the hope is that you will save the seeds eventually and then bring them back to us so we could share with the community.
Mm-hmm.
We have a large variety of seeds available, which we gained from the sustainability grant. We hosted some seed saving workshops. We hosted some story times around gardening. And so before you leave today, if you want to check it out, seeds are free for everyone to take home and then plant in your homes. And then in addition to that, as you all know, we've had a partnership with the animal care facility. So when we were out there, we saw that they had a bunny garden, and it really had nothing in it. So with some of the seeds, they donated some to us, and we were able to revitalize the bunny garden. And so basically the plants that we have there will feed the little animals, so the bunnies, the hamsters, so that it helps them in saving costs for them. So if you get a chance to go over there too, please take a look at it.
Animal care.
It's
yeah.
Actually down the street from the south.
From south.
The south library.
Okay.
So
thank you.
Yes. And then we are almost ready to launch our summer reading program, so we're excited for that. First day will be June 8th, and so it's for little ones, it's for teens, it's for adults, so we hope that you all sign up for the summer reading program as well. We also have programs planned for the families that come in. We're going to have lunch at the library, as we mentioned before. So it's going to be a busy summer, but we look forward to it.
My one announcement is this coming Sunday, May 19th, here at 1 o'clock, we are going to have the unveiling of the historic homes display. If you go out there, you'll see a big display. Bigger than that. Yeah, similar to that. It's blank right now, but we're going
to
debut the images on there on Sunday with the historic homes of Chula Vista. And what it will have is just pictures of historic homes. And I don't know if you all are familiar with the historic homes of Chula Vista. Once upon a time, there were tours that were given to people to go through the historic homes, like, you know, just around old Chula Vista. And it's just like, I don't know if you've ever driven through all of that and seen some of those homes and seen the exterior. They're pretty amazing, and they have, like, you know, a lot of history and a lot of really great sort of things to learn about the history of Chula Vista behind them. But we are going to have a digital version of that. You know, it's not going to be the same as touring the homes, but at least we have the pictures of it. So we're working with the Historic Homes Association. So it's at 1 o'clock. It's free to everybody. It's going to be out here. There's going to be also some entertainment, light refreshments. The entertainment is going to be the San Diego Mandolin Orchestra. So if you are interested in mandolin, if you want to hear about it, I don't think we've ever had mandolin performance in the library. I think there's going to be like 20 musicians. It's going to be quite the sound coming through the to the library, so you're all invited today. Coastal, I think it's from 1 to 4, so just stop by, you get to see it in its full glory. You know, like I said, no displays right now because we want to debut it for Sunday. So.
Some other updates, Millennia is going well. I think they are on the end of the third floor, heading up to the fourth floor for completion. And then we head into the next round, which is tenant improvements, which is the inside of the building. So if you're driving by, you can obviously see it. It's out there. The other one that's actually going to come before Millennia is also ours, which is the Casa Casillas, the art, which will actually tie in with, as you heard Courtney say, Eucalyptus is closing for probably about a year. It's gonna be really hard for the community, but at the same time, they're going to get an amazing park right after when it reopens. But Casa Casillas is a part of that park. And so its completion should be at the end of this year. So we're hoping to see our first exhibit up there and really kind of showcase what the library is able to do for art in the community. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to update. We got nothing?
Yes, everything.
That's
so
it.
Far.
Yeah.
At least so far. I'll share it back to you.
Thank you. Have we met?
Oh, this is Barbara.
Oh, sorry.
Barbara's actually the management analyst for the library. She is currently training right now because she's assisting Park and Rec for their commission tomorrow. So she wanted to see one live.
Yeah.
She wants to see the situation.
The whole process.
Yes. Absolutely. Very good. Okay. I need to approve the minutes from the last meeting. Any questions or concerns?
I do.
Wait, who moved first?
Oh.
I heard him first.
She moved.
I approved. I second.
Oh. Wait, hold on. So Clark. Moved by Mr. Clark. And I'm sorry, who seconded?
I did.
Okay.
I seconded.
All right, I'll take the vote. Trustee Clark?
Yes.
Where do we go here? See, the way it lines up, it's all formatted, it's all weird. Vice Chair Ellison? No, Vice Chair Ellison. Trustee Ellison, see, it's the way.
Oh, yes.
Trustee Halloran?
Yes.
Trustee Larson?
Yes.
Trustee Moffitt?
Yes.
Did you get everybody 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Yeah. Did I get you all?
Actually, I do have one correction.
Oh.
On written communications, it says that I'm a vice chair, but I'm just a trustee.
With that correction, okay.
Put you back.
Okay, motion passes. With the corrections. With the correction. All right.
Any other business?
I do want to let you all know that the next meeting for the next regular meeting for Board of Library Trustees lands on a holiday, Juneteenth. So I will be reaching out to see if you all will be available for an alternate date that week.
Okay.
At probably same time. Probably different room as well, because from what I understand from the branch manager here, she may need this room, so we may be relocating to a different room. So yeah, but I'll reach out and see like what day you all will be available.
Can we meet at the new Oaktown Ranch? Is there a
we can meet in the hub.
Yep.
The hub
okay.
Stores.
Yes.
It's the original, it's right after the original library. We had the other storefront. That's still ours.
Oh.
So we still have that on top of the library, so.
Yeah, and we can see the new
okay.
Library.
Yeah, sure.
Nice.
All right. Okay. So look for that email from me.
Staff comments?
That was my staff comment.
Other than early, yeah. Okay. I have no business.
I have a question. Can you go back to the show the map of the city? Your
Let me see. Which map?
Beth.
Okay.
I want to know, was anybody sober when they drew the northern boundary of the city?
It's like a jigsaw puzzle.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I don't know what the rule is for that.
And you don't know if you're driving down Bonita Road, you're in Chula Vista, then you're not in Chula Vista,
yep.
Then you are in Chula
Vista.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's a common question.
Yeah.
Like, why is Roar part of Chula Vista and everything around it?
Yeah, most of the businesses in Bonita are Chula Vista.
Oh.
Are in Chula Vista.
Yes.
The Bonds,
the library actually is in Chula Vista.
Yeah.
Oh. That library?
Yes, that's our property.
But it's county.
Because
it's
the library,
building.
The golf course, and everything right there is ours. It's our property.
Wow.
So
yeah.
But the buildings are not. The buildings.
What is that thing in the middle that's of the city?
That's
the San Diego Country Club.
What?
The Country Club?
It indicates it's not part of the city, but it's in the middle of it.
Yeah.
This
one.
That's the landfill.
Yeah.
Oh,
the landfill.
Who does it belong to?
City?
The county. Maybe
it's
county.
Maybe, I have no idea.
I mean, I'm glad Courtney was able to present to you guys. Something she didn't say, we were actually listed as the only city that had really good streets across the entire San Diego County. San Diego's really bad right now.
Yeah.
Like, and
they
the
say Chula Vista's the only, we were the only residents that don't complain.
Terrible.
Yes.
And the flooding that
I know.
There's no flooding on
And we were on CBS and NBC as like the only city that was like actually ranked really high for that. But that was a lot. We actually had an amazing team during COVID that realized nobody's on the streets and so went and fixed the streets. It's like, hey, this is our chance to do it. So it's pretty impressive in that amount of time to see all the things that we've done.
But all of that was because we had funding from the
street. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know our city manager has also made why things like Loma happen or even Civic Center is because she really wants to make sure that, hey, when we give a facility back to the community, that it's not just, you know, piecemealed. Like, you heard Courtney say, she doesn't like seeing, oh, well, this is old and still this is, you just fixed that one thing that was broken, but you walked in and everything else is still falling apart. And that is, like, her biggest pet peeve.
Yeah. Like Sweetwater High School.
Yeah. It's, like, right? You fix it.
Yeah.
Like, you're already there. Why didn't you just take the time to do it right? Yeah. So.
But I wonder how the continued funds would help with the new bayfront.
The bayfront in itself isn't really a part of that.
Separate.
It is,
separate.
Is that going to be part of Chula Vista?
It is, yeah.
It's not part of Port?
It's a little, it's half-half.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Just like you see some of those parks there, or Port, not necessarily Chula Vista.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
We work together to get it.
Right.
But and yeah, you can see that now from Chula Vista Center, so.
Yeah.
you
was driving down the
road. I know, right?
I was showing my granddaughter. Look at that.
And
you can
see
it from
beneath it.
Yes.
I was like at Chula Vista Center and I looked this way and I was like, oh, wow.
No, you can see it from the CVS on 8th Street.
So on May, in the beginning of this month, we actually had a topping off ceremony, which is the final steel beam placed onto that building. So it's set to be complete in 25.
Wow.
Yeah, because that means the general steel infrastructure is done.
Yeah.
And now they get to do the fun stuff, which is putting up all the walls. And
it's going to be the biggest building on the west side.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So it'll be exciting.
Is Gabriel going to run it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they'll book the convention.
Yes. They're actually pretty booked out right now, I think.
They're really booked out.
I think they want, I want to see
their
booked
out.
Did
they have interviews already?
No, not yet. But what they do is they open their calendar, knowing that the convention will be booked out. Because obviously, so in the convention world, they usually do at least 4 years at a time, and so you already know where you're going to go next year, the year after, and the year after.
Yeah, they have to.
So they can also block book, and so they've already had the calendar open and it's booked. So.
Cool.
Exciting.
Yeah.
And all those people are
going
to stay
there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
No more business. Are we ready to adjourn?
I think so.
Do you? Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. What time?
4:38.
4:38. adjourn.